Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to read to you two scriptures. Passages. One is in Romans chapter 12, the other will be in Hebrews chapter 10. Romans 12 and Hebrews 10. Romans 12, well, we'll start with verse 3, but verse 5 is kind of the key this morning for where we're going to focus. It says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members," in other words, you have a body, you're here, you got a body, and there's different parts of your body, different members that make up your one body. "And these members do not all have the same function." Now, verse 5, "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Turn to the person near you and say, "I belong to you." Hey, you guys in the sound booth. Let's make sure it's all guys. Hold on, my glasses. Yep. You guys belong to each other. You need to tell each other. Don't think as you're in a sound booth that you're not part of this. You're acting like a choir does, you know. Choirs in church, they just kind of sit back there and think, hey, we're just observing. We're not really part of this. Just checking. You know, when we say we belong, it has some very significant impact. One is that, you know, we go together, all right? We go together. There's a match here. And there's also this sense that says, when I belong to you, it's a sense of taking a little bit more of a humble role. And it fits with the context when the Apostle Paul is writing here and saying, just prior to this, don't think more highly of yourself than you should. When it means I belong to you, it means I am here for your service. I am here to be used, you know, appropriately by you. Because I am a different member of this one body, and you're a different member of this one body of the Lord, we have a little bit different function. And so whatever my part is in this body, it is offered to you because I belong to you. There's a sense of giving yourself to be owned. Okay? To be owned by you. That stretches us, especially in our thinking at this time in history. You know, we always want to be the owner. We always want to call the shots. We want everyone to do kind of how we want because we think our way is always right. It's a little bit different thinking here in the scripture. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 10. We'll start with verse 19. It says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider, let us think, let us pause, let us come up with reasons. That we can provoke one another to love and good deeds, or spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, the day of his return, the day of his coming. So many things in this passage that obviously the Holy Spirit would like to bring and remind us and move us. But this whole idea of, and I say idea, it's because we have to, you know, understand this and process this. And then how does it play out in how I make decisions and I'm going to live my life. And so when it talks about belonging to one another in Romans, and then we come to Hebrews and it talks about don't stop getting together. Don't stop meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Here's the challenge in all of this. And you know this. You know this. You love the Lord. Most of you, you kind of love the idea of getting together at what we call church and worshiping the Lord and having meaningful moments and sharing in the scripture and doing that. And it would be so much more peaceful if we could just come here without anybody else. Let me tell you what I mean. Church would be great if it wasn't for the people. You can chuckle at this. It may hurt and sting, but just laugh a little. I didn't ask permission, but I'm going to just... Don't get mad at me. Well, I'll pull this. I'm going to wear the pastor's hat, not the dad hat. So the intern at our church... We were having a conversation, a little meeting, about ministry and how are things going and you're learning some things. And he was kind of tired that day. And I said, tired, are you, you know, kind of worn? He said, yeah. It's not like I'm sleepy. It's not like I'm, and I'm paraphrasing here from the conversation. It's not like I'm physically just, I got to go sleep. He said, Dad, Pastor, you know what the hardest thing is? And I said, no, tell me. The hardest thing is working with all these people. I said, oh, tell me about that. A guy of almost 30 years in full-time ministry. I'm too young to be in it that long. And everyone said, never mind. I'll make you lie in church. And it's not that he's not enjoying the ministry. It was this understanding. We can come up, listen, we can come up with all kinds of what we think are legitimate reasons not to get involved, not to attend. Well, I love the Lord, and I like to worship, but so-and-so over there, they hurt me. They disappointed me. Oh, I've gone to different churches throughout my life history, and it turns out that they're just kind of all the same. It starts out okay, and then there's this, you know, problem. Or I got mistreated, or I have been disappointed, or listen, if I were to ask who's that ever happened to, we would all stand up. Listen, we would all stand up. Listen, I got reasons not to come. Hey, listen. You, the pastor? Oh, you should be so excited to come to this place all the time. You should be so, you know, and of course, you know, you have to come. I got news for you. In one context, I do not have to come. Oh, if you want to get paid, you do. Listen, there's not a lot of other things I could probably do in life, but there are some other things that I could do. And I have to come, yes, because I'm called. But it's not a, I have to go because I'm called. It's not that. Listen, I could pull the whole thing like you. Somebody hurt me, I'm not going. Well, if that's the way it is at this church, and I, you know, I can do that. I can do that. I got just as legitimate reasons as you. Oh, they didn't show up to teach in their classroom again. Ugh. I mean, I get thoughts like, hey, when the teacher doesn't show up down the hallway, well, guess what, guys? You're going to have to just worship and dismiss because I got to go to a classroom. Can't preach or teach or pastor in here today because I got to go over here. Send a message to y'all. Hey, show up. But I'm not going to do that. Yet. Nobody showed up to the small group. Oh, we tried to offer this to feed people, to give them opportunity to grow and to sharpen one another and do the important things that they did in the early church. And you promote it and put it out there and... Well, I guess that just wasn't the thing that triggered them. What should we do now? Hey, we can't all make everything. I get that. I cannot be at every ministry meeting for every ministry in this church. Can't be. Won't be. Shouldn't be. Thank you, you three. Listen, I get it. We can come with all kinds of reasons not to get together. God disappointed me. People disappointed me. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I get it. We're all different. We all have different tolerance levels, different interest levels. I get that. But how about if we all get on the same commitment level? No amens, just a couple. Well, we'll work with that. What about that? And listen, I'm not taking us to the woodshed here because I got to tell you something. This is not about church attendance. Don't you misunderstand this. Don't mistake this morning as, oh, pastor just wants all the seats filled. Hey, if it was just about my desire, we'd be doing three services here on Sunday and all the seats would be filled. Yes, of course. Okay? But this isn't about that. This is about saying, hey, God has included something in Scripture here long before I was around. And if He included it in this, there must be some sense of priority. There must be something He knows that maybe I don't grasp, that is supposed to be good for me and good for other believers. There's an example here to follow. And the writer says, listen, don't stop getting together as some are in the habit of doing. Listen, he's telling us what example to follow and which one not to. I'll use you four. Okay? If your parents in some way model to you that you can just got to go to, you can just go to church once in a while, I got news for you. You can love them, you can honor your parents, all of that, but in this, they are wrong. You commit yourself to Christ and his body, and you get involved, and you minister and allow God to use you. You offer yourself because you are not just about you. You belong to one another. I don't know what has been passed on to you. Well, I know the three of you. I know a little bit what's been passed on to you, but I'm just using this generically, so just sit here and humor me. I don't know what all has been passed on to you, but you are now young adults. And whatever has not been modeled to you or passed on to you or given to you as some importance from your parents, I am not belittling them. I'm not beating up on your parents or yours. I'm just telling you that in the scripture, it calls you to belong to somebody else, belong to one another, and you get together with one another, and you sharpen one another, and you give hope to one another, and you remind each other of scripture, and you remind each other of who God is, and you remind one another of hope and peace and faithfulness, and you bind one another up, and you hold one another up. You testify of God's goodness in your own life. That is what this is. Listen, there are broken people sitting in your pew. And if you're the only one sitting in your pew, there's still broken people person in your pew. This is not just about you. Have you ever had one of those tiny little things happen on the edge of your kind of the edge of your fingernail and on that skin right there? I don't know what that's called, but one little piece sticks out. And actually, you want to clip, what's it called? A hangnail. I was thinking more of a medical term. I could have come up with that. I'm kidding you. A hangnail. Sometimes it's a nail, but sometimes it's that skin that's there, right? And I don't know what that skin thing is called. It's a skin thing. And you kind of clip it off the best you can get down there, right? With a nail clippers. If you're really good with a pocket knife, you know, hey, more power to you. Now, my body's huge. Yes. Especially in comparison to that skin thing. I don't have one right now. I'm just kind of, you know, for example, visual aid. Do you ever have one of those? And to touch it, you know, I'd like to think I'm not just a big guy. I'm kind of a manly man. I'm, you know, kind of a tough guy. I mean, I wear a suit and girly shirt sometimes. But, you know, hey, I still ride a Harley. And it just, ow, that little ow. I mean, it's not like I whine and cry and walk around holding it. No, I can't do anything today. I don't mean that. But you know what I'm talking about? That little, yeah, ow. It's just enough to bother you and preoccupy you, and you know it's there. I mean, you forget that it's there because it happens, you know, you happen to bump it. And for such a small area, why do you have to hit that so many times a day? That tiny little thing. I don't know what member you are in the body and what all your function is, but I want you to know you matter. And the rest of the body needs to know and be reminded that you matter. This is not just about us. I mean, there are certain Sundays that I show up or gatherings that I show up to that I feel more need of his presence. I feel more need to worship. I feel a greater desire to, you know, have something deposited in me than other moments. You know, that's just kind of part of this life, I would say, you know, in just kind of the general sense without getting too detailed. I get that. When I come to this place, I mean, I'm aware of my need. But I'm aware that there are people here who need to be in His presence. And we need to be connected. Part of my body cannot just show up somewhere. I need to go. This body needs to show up together. Okay? We can't just fragment ourselves off. Right? We will not function right. You hear this? You will not function right. As much as people in this body may agitate you and irritate you and upset you, and you get like, how can they call themselves Christian? I mean, before I was a believer, I conducted myself even better than what they would call their common courtesy. Let's just be honest. We can't fragment ourselves off. Who does the enemy, I mean, not the enemy of our soul, you know, tries to come against and attack us and all of that, but who becomes easy prey? Right? The one who's off by themselves. You can use the whole wolf and sheep thing. They try to break up the flock. Get a small group to go over here and finally pick out a weak one or an old one or a sick one or one who just kind of goes off by themselves. Lunch. If that's you, your nickname in darkness is Lunch. They're going to get you. He's going to get you. And I'm not talking about a fear thing. I'm just telling you that about getting together is not about satisfying some pastor's idea of having all the pews filled. This is about a biblical principle that is supposed to bring health to our life. And our attitude in our home, for those of you who have family, your attitude towards getting together, involvement in ministry, your response to people in the church who drive you, whatever word you want to use, drive you around the bend, drive you crazy, whatever you want to say, your attitude towards it has an audience in your house. You're going to influence somebody. Unless you live by yourself. And if you live by yourself, that kind of talk on a regular basis, it develops this attitude. And when this attitude is there, it will show up in how you make yourself available to the whole scriptural idea of, hey, I am a Christian too, but I do not belong to you. That's not what the scripture teaches us. There is something about being together compared to always being alone or being distant. It does not say, don't get together if you're just, you know, those of you who have the, you know, doctor's excuse of the great physician Jesus say, you don't have to go because, you know, your personality or you're not social. You have an excuse. It's about a spiritual principle that maybe we don't fully grasp, but maybe we should dig into and understand the benefit to ourself and to those around us. For how can we function as a good testimony of His name and be fruitful when we are fragmented? When we withdraw, when we just get out on our own. Or, what are you talking about? I don't get out on my own. I come to church. You come to church, but you are not connected. Oh, you know some people's name and you do some small talk between here and the doors. But that's it. No involvement, no connectivity. In fact, it kind of makes somebody, and we should wonder of ourselves, what purpose do I have? I call myself a member of this body, but what purpose do I have? We all have different function. What's my function? God has called you to be a part of something bigger than you. And it doesn't have to do with title. It has to do with, Jesus, you are my Lord, and if this is how you operate your kingdom, whether I fully understand or not, I am here to follow and serve you. And you have called me to be a part of a body. Part of something. This is his word to us. And understand, this is not just about church attendance. For some, your church attendance is good, but your attitude about this is all wrong. Please, don't just come here, and I'm probably only speaking to three of you on this one, but don't just come here because you love the preacher. And don't just come here because you love the worship or the music. Don't just come here because you have a few friends. Don't just come here because it's a convenient location for you. All of those things may have a little part, but hopefully the motivating factor is that, Jesus, you are my Lord, and this is your word. And this is a biblical, spiritual principle for my health and for the health of other people, the health of the body. What small group or Bible study are you involved in? You don't have to answer. What ministry area are you connected to? You don't have to be leading it, but what are you connected to outside of a Sunday gathering? In what way do the people around you in this room and those who should be here, who aren't, who call this their church home, in what sense do these people actually believe or are they convinced that you belong to them? What fruit in our life can others see that we actually belong to them? What sign? Is it just I go over there on Sunday? Pastor, from time to time you get the call. Yes, so-and-so has passed away, and they would like you to do their funeral. They put down that, you know, your church is where they go to church. Oh, okay. What can I do for the family? And I go through those things, and then I go, who is this? I don't ask them that. I'm just thinking, who is this? I mean, I can't know everybody in this church, but those who would call this their church home and have been coming for a while, I at least can identify who they are. I'm thinking, who? What do you mean this is their home church? They don't come here. I mean, I'm glad to, you know, be called upon. It's an opportunity for ministry. I feel bad that they passed away. But they don't, this ain't their home church. I mean, I'm not going to argue with the family about it. Family is not connected. They don't know. They just, this person, this is their home church. And I don't mean that this is some elderly person who has been a shut-in and haven't been able to come here for 15 years. I'm grateful for the call and any opportunity to minister, we're going to take that. That is not the issue here. But that's calling a place of worship and a body you're connected to. I can even ask around amongst the body and people who've been here, say, did you hear of or do you know of? They go, no, I don't know. And it's not like this is a church of 2,000 people. That I would understand. Mars Clemerson, her situation, I understand. Boy, I had a nice little visit with her too, close to Christmas. She loves you so much. She'd be here as much as she possibly could. Some of you don't know Mars because she's an older lady and she lives at Rolling Hills. But there are people who are now adults in this church that she kind of took in and helped raise. She's an extraordinary woman. She loves and she gives and she prays. And by her own admission, she struggles a little bit in her mind to remember some things and do that. But boy, I had a nice visit with her. We laughed. She cares about the people around her. One of the workers from Rolling Hills came in, chatted a little bit. She left, said she'd come back. And Marsh began to tell me about what has gone on in this woman's life. Mars isn't physically here, but boy, I'll tell you what, she's part of the body. It's His word. Be the example and follow the example of the writer of Scripture. Don't forsake getting together. Hey, we're all going to miss a Sunday from time to time. Remember, this is not just about church attendance. This is about belonging to one another. This is living beyond our legitimate reasons and our excuses to not get involved. I'm tired of being hurt. I'm tired of being frustrated. I'm tired of, you know, people drive me crazy, blah, 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 blah. People in the church, they're not very smart. Well, yeah, some of us are smarter than others. Yes, so what? Don't think more of yourself than you should. Ooh. Some of us are better at different things, but I'll tell you what. Regardless of what we're good at, we're not good at, where we're gifted and where we're weak, none of those are reasons or excuses to not be together and find purpose and find our function and where we are in the body. This isn't about wishing to be somewhere else in the body. This is about embracing what God has called us to be in the body. Okay? And I want you to know, through development and time and God's direction, sometimes He transforms us and brings new gifting into our life to be something different, a different member in the body. Okay? So it doesn't mean where you're at today is where you always have to be. It's just being grateful and embracing it and functioning in it, because those who are faithful in little, right? They will be faithful in much. And more responsibility and more opportunity may be given unto you as time goes on. That's His business, because He is the head of the body. Okay? And He is the smart one in the body. Okay? Not you and I. He's the smart one, because He's the head. He's the brains of the outfit. Okay? Get it? All right? My finger is not smart. Sometimes it does not get out of the way when it should. Okay? He's the head of the body. You and I are supposed to consider how we can provoke, not to anger, to provoke one another to love and good deeds. We belong to one another. To spur one another on. Okay? And I know that we have horse people here. Do not take advantage of the idea of spurring. You don't need to draw blood. Guiding. Working with people. Yes. Along the way, they will drive you crazy. Turn to the person next to you and say, I love you, but you drive me crazy. I love you, but you drive me crazy. This is a wonderful opportunity for spouses to bring about the conversation that the husband has always feared to say, but has felt a long time. Pastor told me to say it. I don't really believe it. I don't know. You don't drive me crazy. You are the queen. You are part of this, but it is not about you. I come up and stand in this pulpit. But I am so aware that this is not about me. I may be the guy up front right now, but this is not about me. This is about him, his instruction, and he has our best in mind, even when we do not have what is really best in our mind. And you need to be healed of whatever in your past or what's been broken in here that works against his instruction. Okay? So since we are a body, we will now celebrate together communion. And this is a moment where we are supposed to examine ourselves before we eat this bread and drink this cup. And if there's a sin issue, ask forgiveness, get it right. I don't care if it's something that's been a repetitive sin, you confess it to him. Don't throw in the towel, okay? Let him continue to pick you up, dust you off, keep walking with you, strengthen you, okay? But I'll tell you, part of our thinking and judgment on ourselves this morning should be, God, I have not had the attitude that I belong to them. Oh, I belong to New Life. That's different. That's really vague. Rather than saying, I belong to Brad. I belong to Amos. I belong to JW. I belong to Jeff. I belong to Spencer. I belong to Caden. I belong to Justin. That's different. It's different. And say, Lord, I wrestle with this. I've been hurt. People bug me. Blah, blah, blah. I get it. Listen, I love you. But sometimes you bug me. I know there's some of you who love me. And I bug you. I know. I get it. It's all right. It's okay. I love my family. I love my family. But you bug me. A lot. No, I'm kidding. Oh, I love them. But you know what? Sometimes they bug me, not because of them. Because of me. My precedence, my preference, my attitude that day. Yeah. Sometimes they bug me because of me, not because of them. Get it right. Get it right. So in your judgment of yourself this morning, maybe, just maybe, you might want to consider, where does my attitude fall, Lord, in belonging to people who are brothers and sisters in Christ, regardless of how I may look at their life and judge them by the fruitfulness or the leanness of fruit, or how they talk, or what they did, or how they treat people, or listen. Work you out first. Okay? And when you are perfect, then you can work the rest of us out. Okay? All right? Okay? In the meantime, let the perfect one work you out. Work me out.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.